This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds. Seattle's massive 57-foot-tall tunneling machine known as Bertha, after Seattle's first female mayor, has been stuck 60 feet under Pioneer Square for over a month. Last week, officials revealed why. It's one of the Washington Department of Transportation's own steel pipes, installed in 2002 to measure groundwater and never removed. Now, crews are trying to figure out how to get rid of that pipe and get Bertha moving again. Matt Preedy is Deputy Program Administrator for the Highway 99 Project at the Washington Department of Transportation. He's here to tell us more about it. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Great to be here.
So why didn't you know that the pipe blocking Bertha was there before you hit it?
So the reference documents for the contract do depict the location of the pipe and what it's made of. It's a very common question that we get, and the answer is a little bit complex in that this is what we call a design-build project, where the design builder is responsible to take a whole bunch of information that we give them, and then they have to assimilate that information, decide what's important, what's not important, because ultimately the means and methods for building the project are theirs to determine.
Well, the contractor has said, we knew there was some drilling that went on there, but it should have been taken out. That's what they're saying.
Typically, the way that works is we'll put a specification in the contract that says the contractor is free to use this information from these wells for the duration of the project. And at the end of the project, then the contractor has to decommission these wells.
Okay. So basically, you're saying it was up to – you gave them the information. They should have known the pipe was there.
Yeah, the information was available in the materials, yes.
Well, that'll all get sorted out. But right now, you got a problem. You got Bertha stuck underneath there. And I understand that there's a lot of things you don't know about this pipe yet. What are the things you don't know about the pipe?
Well, we know the location of the pipe when Bertha tunneled into it. And it was about 90 feet back of where the machine is now. So the machine was able to tunnel another 90 feet forward before it really started to have some issues. I think there's a common misconception that the machine is actually stuck. It's not stuck. I would compare it to you're driving down the highway, your check engine light comes on, your oil light comes on, it starts to get hot. You can choose to keep going, or you can choose to maybe pull over to the side of the road, take it to a shop, and figure out what's going on before you really hurt your car. So the cutter head turns. We're able to advance the machine if we want to, but it's not operating the way that it should. And that leads us to believe that possibly pieces of this steel pipe or possibly other things such as pieces of boulders, which we've also encountered, could be jammed up in the machine somewhere where it's making it difficult to operate it the way that it should.
One of the things you're doing is you're drilling 5-foot-wide shafts from the surface down to Bertha. What's the purpose of that?
We initially drilled some very small diameter shafts, about 5 or 6 inches in diameter, and we hit some objects in a few of those. So we're going down there with these larger shafts now to see if we can hit those same objects and then determine what those objects actually are and maybe actually be able to reach down, grab them, and remove them through these larger holes. If we don't find anything in these holes, what we're going to do is backfill those holes with, you know, a low-strength concrete mortar, and that will help form a wall in front of the machine that will help workers to gain access into the cutting head chamber, because that a partial wall in front of the machine will help reduce the water pressure.
So it will solidify whatever's there so you can somehow open the front of the drilling head and find out what's right in front of it? If you did that now, water would just go into the opening?
Absolutely. Yeah. We've spent the last few weeks drilling 10 dewatering wells, and all those are operational. We're able to drop the water table in this area so that we can reduce the pressure in the cutting head chamber, so that when we get to the point where we're ready to send workers into the chamber to see what's really going on, they can do it safely.
Now, I understand Bertha was not built to cut through steel. I mean, that's the problem here, is that you have to remove it because it's not built to do that. So the thought was you would not encounter steel.
The typical tunnel boring machine is not designed to cut through steel. Bertha was not designed to do that. It's very good at tunneling through and breaking through very hard, brittle objects. A steel pipe, it bends. It's ductile. And so it's hard for the types of cutting tools that are on the front of the machine to be able to break that apart into small enough pieces to be able to make it out the machine through the excavation belt and excavation screw. We think it's quite likely that the presence of this pipe could be part of the issue. We're still not convinced it's the whole issue.
So there might be something else.
We know that after we went through this pipe, we also went through a series of boulders. Some of those boulders got broken up and came out on the conveyor belt. It's quite possible that there's additional boulders out there. We haven't found them yet. There could be some boulders jammed up in the machine itself.
So along with steel, Bertha can't go through a boulder either?
No, Bertha can definitely go through boulders. If you have a combination of steel and boulders at the same time, it might lock it together in such a matrix that it makes it hard to get through.
Do you know enough now about the obstruction and the problems to tell me when it'll get going again?
I would say it's unrealistic to think that the machine will be going any sooner than another month from now.
First week or so in February would be your best guess.
Yeah, if I had to make a prediction right now, mm-hmm. I would say that we're probably a good month out from restarting.
So that's over 2 months of delay. Can you still get this done on time?
Well, we'll see. You know, the I think there's a common misconception that there's no work going on this site. There are over 300 workers on this site, and when the tunnel boring machine is operating, only 25 of those are actually building the tunnel. The other 275 people are building all the other elements of the project, meaning the cut-and-cover roadway south of where the tunnel is. There's a double-decker concrete road being built as we speak. There's operations buildings being constructed. There is a receiving pit on the north end being constructed. All those people are fully employed and actually doing productive work, earning their pay. So there's various what we call critical paths to getting the project complete. There's always the opportunity to shift the sequence of your work in such a way that you can make up time. If one part of the project is delayed, you might be able to shift various work sequences around to catch up time.
Can you do enough of that shifting to make up all the time you've lost already?
Well, this machine was predicted to be able to tunnel at the rate of about six rings per day, you know, and almost 40 feet a day. The machine has been shown that it can be operated easily at eight rings per day. And we're predicting that once it really gets going, we could be up to 13 to 15 rings per day. So if the schedule is built upon a six ring per day average, there's a likelihood we could catch up to finishing the tunnel drive on time, just the fact that the machine's going to be able to tunnel faster than we had thought.
Is there tension here between the Washington Department of Transportation and the contractor over this? There appears to be some disagreement about who's responsible.
Well, there's always the potential to have disagreements on, you know, whose side of the pay ledger does any issue fall on, right?
Yeah.
That is a separate discussion with separate people than the hardworking folks that are out there in the field trying to solve the issue.
Yeah.
The commercial issues that clearly we have to talk about with the contractor, that'll be handled up in the office, and it's really going to have no bearing on the working relationship in the field.
That is Matt Preedy, Deputy Highway 99 Administrator for the Washington State Department of Transportation. He didn't want to talk much about who's going to pay for the Bertha slowdown, but down in Olympia, they're having a day of meeting journalists, and there are some comments coming out of that. House Speaker Frank Chop says, I don't know who should pay for viaduct overruns due to Bertha's woes. Senator Tracy Eady compares the SR 99 tunnel in Seattle to Boston's Big Dig, and she's calling it a big mess. Meanwhile, there's a Twitter account called Stuck Bertha where you can read the alleged comments of said stuck drilling machine. Here's a couple of recent ones. I am not going to take the fall on this one. And a second tweet from Stuck Bertha. I'd like to offer anyone unemployed a job of digging me out of this mess. You're listening to The Record on KUOW with Marcy Silman. I'm Ross Reynolds.
I have all my appendages. Bertha, don't you come around here. I had to move. Really had to move. That's why if you kiss, why I'm all my enemies. Now, Bertha, don't you come around here.